Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. When Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, and Dan Rather left the stage, the word was out. Network television news was going to change, and change in a big way. Audience was evaporating. The internet and cable were changing the world. CBS chief Les Moonves declared it was time to break the mold. Bomb the building, he said. Lead a revolution where Walter Cronkite once reigned. Well, the news is in, CBS has chosen, and the future is Katie Couric. Smart, chipper, the girl next door, a huge winner in the morning, and soon the first woman to solo anchor the network evening news. Up next on Point, the Katie Couric way and the future of television news. We begin with Matea Gold, media and television reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Matea, thanks for being with us. There's been a lot of talk for a long time about this, I gather.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Couric said this morning, this is about the worst-kept secret right now. This idea that she was going to CBS had been reported on for several months. But she did make it an official this morning, and in a very personal, a bit emotional statement, talked about how much she's enjoyed her time on the Today Show, but said that sometimes it's good to get out of your comfort zone.
What's going on? Why is she going? She's making a lot of money. She's got great ratings. She's a proven winner there. Why, from her angle, why is Katie Couric moving?
Well, you know, today marks her 15th anniversary of being co-anchor of the Today Show. It's a job with a grueling schedule and requires getting up, you know, before dawn every day. And, you know, it's something she's done for a while, and people close to her said she's really ready for a new challenge. And also, she, most people don't know, but she really started off doing hard news. She was a local news reporter, and she covered the Pentagon for NBC and tells people she wants to get back to doing hard news full time.
And what about the CBS decision? It's a very big one, Matea. What does it seem to suggest about where they see network evening news going, that they're putting Katie Couric in the anchor chair? First time a woman will command that slot solo.
Yeah, and it's as many analysts have remarked, it's amazing that it's actually the year 2006 and we haven't had a woman who's done this job on her own before. It's a bit of an anachronism. But for CBS, they're really, this is a great opportunity for them to continue what they say is a rebuilding of their news division. They went through quite a steering experience in the fall of 2004 when anchor Dan Rather reported a story for 60 Minutes Wednesday about President Bush's time in the Texas Air Guard that came under a lot of criticism, and eventually the network apologized for the piece and said it had been flawed. They've gone through a lot of changes, and they're trying to rebuild and get out of third place, and they hope Couric will help them do that.
Now, you've pointed to Katie Couric's news background, but of course, with the breakfast show, essentially, she's on now, she's also very well known for her kind of emotive quality, the girl next door piece. What do you think? Is CBS going to import that into the evening news, or will that vanish? Will she become Katherine Couric?
Well, I think it's clear that they're not going to do a morning news program in the evening. It's a very different audience, and people are looking for very different things. It sounds like they are going to adjust the program somewhat to reflect what they say is her really personable style. She's someone who has a very likable quality. That's the reason that viewers have flocked to her in the morning, and they want that to come through. But at the same time, they say they want a real balance, and they don't want, obviously, the evening news to be frivolous. So I think we'll see some subtle changes, but nothing too dramatic.
Now, how are the ratings going since the era of Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, Dan Rather? That's passed. How do things stack up now? What's the dynamic been?
Well, it's really remarkable, despite the fact that all three of those real lions of the business are no longer in their anchor chairs. The rankings are still the same. NBC is on top with a wide lead over ABC's World News Tonight, followed by CBS. However, there are some signs that viewers have been sampling different broadcasts. NBC and ABC are both down by a combined total of about 1 million viewers from last year, while CBS is up significantly, about 2,000 to 3,000 viewers compared to last year. Interim anchor Bob Schieffer has brought what CBS executives say is a real needed stability and growth period at the news division, and so CBS feels like at least they have some momentum.
Matea, what's the timetable for Katie Couric here? When does she make the shift? When are we going to see her when the evening news eye comes on?
Well, she's going to wrap up her contract at NBC, which ends May 31st, and then take some time off this summer, but I'm sure she'll be busy in discussions with CBS, and they plan to put her on the air as the new anchor beginning sometime in September, probably after Labor Day.
It's a news business. It's also, in some degree, a celebrity business. What are the money numbers here? She was making 15 or something like that, million a year at the Today Show. They promised her, offered her more to keep her. What's it going to be at CBS?
Well, I've learned that CBS has offered her a comparable salary, which means that she's probably going to be making around $15 million a year. However, she could have made more if she stayed at NBC. They reportedly offered her a package above $20 million to stay on at that network.
That's a big number and a big job coming for Katie Couric. Matea Gold, thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Matea Gold covers media and television for the Los Angeles Times. We're talking this hour about Katie Couric, the Katie Couric announcement, and the future of TV news. Joining me now from New York is David Blum. He's television critic for the New York Sun and professor at the Columbia School of Journalism. He's also author of Tick, 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 The Long Life and Turbulent Times of 60 Minutes, where Katie Couric will also have a role now. David Blum, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
What do you make of the news, sir?
Well, it's a great move for Katie Couric. I don't know what kind of a move it's going to be for the audience. Obviously, she'll get a huge ratings bump when she starts. Everyone's going to want to check her out. But I think one of the things the numbers show is that there isn't the same kind of brand loyalty that used to exist on these evening newscasts. There's no dominant force like a Walter Cronkite or Huntley Brinkley or even Rather and Jennings. So people will bounce around, and I don't think it's going to have necessarily the long-term effect that they hope unless they can rebuild the entire news division, not just the person in the anchor chair.
Network news, the three big networks have lost something like half of their viewership since 1980. We heard a lot of talk when the generational change came of Rather and Jennings and Brokaw, Jennings with his unfortunate death, that it was going to be a brand new day. Les Moonves, the head of CBS, was saying, you know, bomb the building, blow it up, we need a revolution. He was jokingly talking about naked news or put Jon Stewart in there, you know, really turn it upside down. What does Katie's naming say about that kind of talk, that kind of ambition?
Well, I think they're really trying to stick with the basic formula. There's not much room for flexibility when you're reporting on the day's news events. The fact of the matter is these shows probably wouldn't even exist today if it weren't for the fact that they're now allowed to show advertising for pharmaceuticals. I mean, Lunestra is pretty much supporting the evening news at this point. And were it not for osteoporosis, I think all three of these people, anchors, would be out of jobs.
You're pointing to the aging viewership there, which just proceeds apace.
The aging viewership and the if you watch these newscasts, virtually all the advertising that supports them is from pharmaceutical companies aimed at those viewers. Mm-hmm. So the fact is that the audience is shrinking, if not dying, and I think it's going to be a tremendous challenge to keep those audiences from shrinking. And I don't necessarily – I think going for a comedy or blowing up the building, as Moonves sort of jokingly said, I don't think would have provided any solution because young people are getting their news elsewhere from the internet or from Jon Stewart on Comedy Central.
What do you expect from Katie Couric? Will she – can she bring that affable, emotive morning personality into this role? Does it suggest at all a kind of – you know, or will she go back to her news sort of delivery and personality? Might we see a sort of Oprahification of the evening news, empathy up front here, or do you expect her to become more Katherine Couric?
Well, I doubt that it'll change all that much. She's very good at sort of conversational, off the cuff. I mean, the real gift of an anchor person is their ability to be extemporaneous, and that's what she's been for 15 years. And, you know, having the ability to talk off the cuff, ask people smart questions, look into the camera and see the viewer directly the way she has so effectively. Those are skills that Peter Jennings had, Dan Rather to some extent. But I think she's got them, and that's what she'll do. I don't think it's so much of being an entertainer as just being somebody who connects to the audience and makes them feel comfortable, especially when tragedy hits like a 9/11 or some other form of shattering news event.
But day in and day out, there's a lot of teleprompter reading here. So do you expect CBS to loosen up the format so that Katie Couric would have more time to have that extemporaneous interaction with reporters? Might we see her, I don't know, sitting on a couch with the White House reporter during the evening?
Oh, I doubt that. In fact, you know, there's not much. I think she was reading off a prompter this morning when she said her goodbye. It looked to me as though she was. I don't think there's really going to be much room for that, and nor would she want it. I think she's doing this precisely to give herself a kind of credibility that a lot of these morning show anchors don't have. You know, I don't think she wants to be remembered as somebody who ate pastries with Emeril Lagasse for the rest of her life. I think she wants to do something significant and important, and she'll be happy to be sitting behind a desk.
Tom Brokaw did the morning news show before he became the kind of, fixture on the evening news there. So a comparable transition coming, you think, for Katie Couric?
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Brokaw was considered a joke. Tom the Wonder Horse, I think he was called, something like that. And it took a long time for him to get credibility doing the evening news. And it won't take her nearly so long. But I think that's what she wants. I think that's what they all want. I think Diane Sawyer, the reason her name keeps surfacing for these jobs is because I think she's torn between the tremendous success and fame and money that you get from being on morning television and the kind of credibility you get from being on nighttime television. The one person who's figured it all out and has her whole psyche perfectly modulated is Meredith Vieira, who probably will take over the Today Show and is a wonderful TV personality and will keep that show on top.
We're joined right now from Boston by Jane Clayson, former co-anchor with Bryant Gumbel on CBS's The Early Show. She left in 2002 after 3 years, then moved to 48 Hours and the CBS Evening News. She previously worked as a correspondent at World News Tonight with Peter Jennings from 96 to 99. Jane Clayson, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
So there you are. You know this turf well. You've been a woman in a lot of these situations. You see what Katie Couric's doing. What do you think's coming? How's she going to do?
Well, I think that there are a handful of bona fide superstars in TV news, and I think Katie Couric is one of them. And I think at a time when some people were saying that the evening news is dead, that these broadcasts are dinosaurs, they won't survive, I think Katie has changed the equation now and injected new life into CBS and into the evening news broadcast as a whole.
What do you expect from her? Do you expect her to mimic the men who have preceded her as solo anchors? Or is she going to loosen up, get more real, bring humor, bring that empathy, famous empathy of hers into play?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know who her executive producer will be. I don't know what their format will be. I do think that Katie left. Certainly she didn't do it for the money. She left because she wanted to get back to her hard roots. I mean, she says she wants to do some pieces for 60 Minutes. That's what CBS has said she will do in addition to anchoring the evening newscast. And I think that, you know, she will bring that sort of credibility, and that's why she did it, to get back to her news roots. I disagree slightly, Tom, with those who say that, you know, Katie is anchored a morning program, and because that she does cooking segments or has bantered with rock stars on the plaza, that she's a lightweight or somehow wouldn't be suitable for the evening news anchor chair. The Today Show is first and foremost a news program, and it's hard news, which routinely hosts the biggest newsmakers of the day, and Katie has interviewed all of them. She's earned her stripes. She is a journalist with a big J, and of course she's ready. She's earned the chance, the opportunity to anchor an evening newscast.
But are we going to see then, Jane, do you think, a transformation? Will it be, you know, a stern line to the jaw and a kind of steely view from Katie Couric now? Is she going to leave behind that? Yes, she's talked with all the bigs, it's true, but she's also been in the Halloween costume and on the ski slopes and been open to people sort of mourning, even frivolity sometimes. That's part of that. That's part of that scene. Is she going to drop that?
Well, I think Katie is who she is, and I think that's why people relate to her. I think that's why people like her. I don't know what she wants to bring to the broadcast besides who she is and what she's done and the credibility that she already has, but I do think it's a new day at CBS, not only with Katie going to the evening news, but with the departure of Andrew Hayward, president of CBS, Sean McManus becoming the new president, Steve Friedman, the former executive producer of the Today Show and the Early Show, back as of last week at CBS as a vice president. Suddenly the future of CBS News and its broadcast looks very bright, and I think Katie will be Katie. She will bring to it what she's always brought to every broadcast, but she, first and foremost, is a news person, Pentagon correspondent, I believe, at NBC before she sat in the anchor chair at the Today Show. So she has news chops, and I think first and foremost she's going to use them. I personally don't think she's going to go to a Jon Stewart type format. I think that's why she went to the
CBS
anchor chair.
Mm-hmm. Jane Clayson, David Blum, stand by. I want to bring one more voice in, if I may, from New York as well. Michael Wolff is with us, contributing editor for Vanity Fair magazine, author of Autumn of the Moguls, My Misadventures with the Titans, Posers and Money Guys Who Mastered and Messed Up Big Media. Michael Wolff, thanks for being with us.
How are you?
We're well. We wonder what you think of this announcement. And in the big, long evolution of network news, which has been pretty much downhill lately, what difference does it make?
Well, I think it makes no difference, and actually the most interesting thing about this announcement is how much talk it's generated by people in the media, and it strikes me that we are the only people who are really interested in this story. The network news is on its way out. It's been on its way out for quite a number of years. I don't know anyone in the business, underline anyone, who believes that there is a future to network news. It's for all of the obvious reasons. The competition is huge. Network news is from a technological point of view as outdated as you can get. People just don't get their news anymore from network news. And the difficulty is for the networks is how to get out of this business. It's a major PR issue, and I think end of day, Katie Couric going to CBS is a PR strategy. It's a good idea. I mean, it's not a controversial idea at any rate. It shows that Les Moonves and CBS are straight up guys when it comes to the news. In other words, everybody is doing everything. Everything right. At the same time, they all understand that that the days are numbered here. And frankly, from their point of view, the sooner the number comes up, the better.
There was talk, Michael Wolff, that CBS might do it right here this time, that they might just exit the network news business, and they clearly haven't done that. It's a big financial commitment to Katie Couric. So why not?
First thing, it's not that big of a financial commitment.
These are hardly big money makers in the evening. So,
but this is a big company, and actually the issue is remember, and one of the things that's happened here is that CBS has just become an independent public company. They've split from their parent Viacom, and mostly what Les Moonves is doing right now, the thing that he is most concerned with is what's the perception of this company? What's the perception of this company most of all on Wall Street? And when that's at the top of your thinking, you wanna move in ways that are not gonna embroil you in major pieces of controversy. Getting rid of the evening news, which would probably be ultimately the right financial decision. Let's say, is probably a bad brand decision. It's going to impact on what people think of CBS, on what people on the share price, on the affiliates, all of that. So again, you go into the evening news, and I think this has impacted virtually every decision about the evening news on all three networks for quite a number of years. You go into it in a way that causes you do. What causes the least amount of friction?
The least friction, and maybe a step on the way out of it entirely. Michael Wolff, contributing editor at Vanity Fair magazine, thanks for being with us.
Anytime.
David Blum, what do you say to that? First of all, Michael Wolff says nobody cares about the network news anymore except other media, but I wonder if the country doesn't have, if only, a vestigial longing for the time when there was a shared hearth. I mean, there is this idea that everybody sat around, learned the news. There was a kind of community involved in that. Is that impulse? Is that hunger dead?
I don't think so. And I think Michael Wolff's being a little naive to think that Les Moonves would invest in any product that wasn't earning him profit. And I can guarantee you that the CBS Evening News is profitable for CBS. And the moment that it stops being profitable is the moment that it goes off the air, and not a day sooner. And that's true of all the networks. They're still making money somewhere in the range of about $50 million a year, more or less. And that's money in the bank for CBS, and that's why it's on the air, and that's why they're paying Katie Couric all this money.
Of course, that's a fraction of what her morning show pulls in.
Well, it is, but it's also the flagship, to some extent, for the affiliates who need a bridge from their local newscasts into prime time. There are lots of financial and economic considerations that Wolff isn't acknowledging. It isn't just a bunch of media critics out here who care. It's the affiliates who carry a tremendous amount of weight, and it's the audience who also care
who's on that newscast and who want to be loyal, if possible, to one channel, if for no other reason, because they don't like to flip around every 5 minutes.
I want to begin to bring our listeners in, if I may, David. Jane, a lot of them have been waiting to join us. Let me turn first to Augusta, Georgia, and Gloria. Hi, Gloria. You're on the air.
I'm on the air. I'd like to say that I'm totally unimpressed with this new step. I am a woman who believes in women having a voice, but Katie Couric is not that voice.
Why not?
Because broadcast news sucks. I don't watch broadcast news. I am a recent, I am free of, I'm a person who had had cable, everything, seven TVs for 30 years. I'm celebrating 1 year of freedom from being connected.
From television. But let me ask you, if it's so lousy, why do you care if Katie Couric's in the chair or not?
Because it's the corporatization of the news. They lie. They lie. I had my recent convert to NPR. I listen to NPR on the weekend. I listen to BBC at night. I get my news on the Internet.
So you're going in another direction. Jane Clayson, there's another one lost to the network news. Gloria says she's just not having it. What about the importance of it long term? And does Katie Couric's being named to this position bolster the significance and the role of the evening news, or is it steady state, or, as Gloria would have it, does it diminish it?
Well, I think Katie does add a new aspect to all this, injects new life into the evening newscast. I hear what she's saying, your caller. I will say that even though the evening newscast numbers are down, they are losing viewers, they're still pulling in, Tom, 3, 4, 5 times the number of viewers of any cable news program on any given night.
Very true.
So it's a viable, credible source of news for millions of Americans. And I think Les Moonves is a smart man. He's not going to hire Katie Couric and pay her that kind of money. It is small change, if you will, for a company like Viacom, but still it's a lot of money, and it's a big move for her, and she's smart, too. She's not going to do it if she doesn't think that this is going to be something that's going to be long-term and that people are going to watch and be interested in, and that CBS is making a commitment to this time slot.
David Blum, what about Gloria's kind of raising the issue of whether or not network news steps up to really tell it how it is? The new research out lately saying people don't actually want that. They want to have their current, you know, beliefs reinforced in the media. Do you see Katie Couric as a sort of speak truth to power, challenging voice in that CBS anchor chair, or someone who's reassuring, comforting? Which way?
I think probably the latter, reassuring. I think that's what these networks have banked on. When major news events occur, people don't turn to Fox. They don't turn to CNN nearly as much as they do the networks. The numbers don't lie. People want these anchors to be in place for moments when they really need to know what's going on. And that reassuring voice is crucial. I think it certainly proved that way during 9/11. During the Challenger disaster, at various junctures in history, the Kennedy assassination, we've seen time and again that people want that presence in their lives as someone to connect to at a moment of need. And Katie Couric will be, I think, terrific at that.
Tom's calling from Plymouth, Massachusetts. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Hello, Tom. Are you there, my friend? Let me turn to West Hartford, Connecticut, and Reed. Reed, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yes.
I guess I agree with the comment that we look for reassurance in moments of tragedy, but I think the way that Katie can establish credibility is precisely to challenge the administration in a way that Fox News doesn't.
Is that her job, to challenge the administration?
I think her job is to report the truth, and I think that network television has lately tended to take press releases from the White House for granted and not challenged the administration in ways that it should.
So what do you expect from Katie Couric on that front? Do you think she'll break the mold, if that's the case, and push harder, push differently?
I think she has the opportunity to, because I think she's developed a tremendous amount of credibility with the general public in the morning show. And I think she has that opportunity, and this is her real chance to establish a name for herself and be something other than just a comforting figure.
Yeah, that's very interesting. What is it exactly that buys a news anchor the freedom to be challenging? Maybe, in fact, it's partly that relationship she's built with those morning listeners, that sense that she's a real person. I want to bring into our conversation from New York Jeff Jarvis. He's founder of the blog Buzz Machine, creator of Entertainment Weekly magazine, former TV critic for TV Guide. Jeff Jarvis, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
How do you see Katie Couric playing on the loyalty and reputation she's built in the CBS Evening News anchor chair? Do you think she can bring something special to it?
Special? No. This is not about... There was a lot of talk about trying to get rid of the oracular voice, the oracle on high from TV News. Well, they just replaced the stern-faced and sometimes goofy voice of Dan Rather with the, you know, perky and more likable voice of Katie Couric. But this is really about celebrity. It's about hiring celebrity. They're halfway to hiring George Clooney as the anchor, and you know they might as well. He did a good job playing one, a news guy on the movies. But it's really about hiring a celebrity, and it's really about not having the courage to remake the evening news.
If you were going to remake it, how would you do it? Would you look for one person? Would you blow it up?
It's not about, here's the problem. It's not about the format of having one person or having the name. Neither is it about even the format of being on TV. You've got to kind of break past this and look upon this as a whole. People don't just go to the TV for 22 minutes, we give you nothing at night. They also go to the internet. They also go elsewhere. They know stuff. So I think it's got to fit into a bigger whole. And CBS has talked about having its cable bypass strategy and trying to do things on the internet, but it's very hard to a big company to make that work together. So all they've really done, I think, is to try to keep this old beast alive longer.
Keep it alive longer. Will it work for that? Celebrity's pretty powerful.
I don't much care, because I think that the TV news, TV is bound to shrink. It is doing nothing but shrinking, and it's going to keep on shrinking. And I think I would rather have seen someone have the guts to just kill this off and say, let's get out of that business, or let's figure out something entirely new to do. But instead, you have three shows that are basically the same, under the same formula, with somebody they make into a celebrity reading the news, and that's it. And I don't think, because I think the problem is part of what we're trying to do, too, is recreate a false time in America. That hearth you described earlier was really a false creation of big three networks, killing, by the way, multiple newspaper towns and getting down to a one-size-fits-all media world. That's not the natural state of media. We're seeing the natural state of media in the internet. We saw it before network TV, when people had a lot of choices, a lot of voices, a lot of viewpoints. And we don't have that. We have tapioca on TV.
David Blum, I know I've got to let you go in just a minute. Your final thought here, where do you think this is going? How much longer will it last in the form it's in, with Katie or, you know, never mind who sits in that chair? Network News, is it with us for another 5 years, 10, forever?
I think as long as it's making money, it's going to exist. And the minute it stops, it won't. I agree very much with that caller who suggested that the way to keep this format alive and thriving is for somebody like Katie Couric to re-energize it with some real investigative journalism that's been lacking. I mean, you know, once upon a time, Lyndon Johnson said that when he lost Walter Cronkite, he lost the war in Vietnam. And I think it'd be pretty exciting to see George Bush have to say the same thing about Katie Couric.
Yeah, who knows? The day could come. David Blum, we're grateful to you for being with us. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
David Blum, faculty member at the Columbia School of Journalism, television critic for the New York Sun, author of Tick, Tick, Tick on 60 Minutes. Let's have the sound of Katie Couric in our ears as we talk about this. Earlier this week, Katie Couric talked with MSNBC political analyst Chris Matthews about Tom DeLay's decision to resign from Congress. It was hard news. Here's how she handled it.
Questions still remain about his ties to disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff. So how much did these scandals affect his decision?
He told me, well, he, of course, knows everything we know and more. I always figure politicians in trouble know a lot more than the Republican district now. I don't think the Republican is the favorite, even if with DeLay getting out of the race.
Whoa, that's a lot of information early in the morning. Okay, Chris.
No, I know. Anyway.
A lot of information early in the morning. We edited out some of Chris's long answer there, but you hear the handling of that. Jeff Jarvis, that's not going to be, I guess, something you can do in the evening. Do you see Katie making a smooth transition? No, that's a lot of information response, I assume.
Yeah, but you know the problem with this is that TV has always been faked up, right? It's been packaged and plasticized to an extreme, and I think the effort is to find a new human voice. So actually, in some way, to say, you know what, Tim, you just bored me, may not be a dumb thing to do at all. But what we're really used to now is that we're used to cable news where we get TV constantly, where the news has not been packaged and is often thus wrong. But we're kind of getting used to that. We're getting used to breaking news. Sprint sent me a high-speed phone to check out because I'm a blogger.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really struck me about it was that it had live news from ABC on there. It was live. And the idea that if a huge story was breaking, I know that I'd be addicted to that phone. Mm-hmm. So the grammar of news all around is changing. And to have, you know, CBS has been having Bob Schieffer do little chats with correspondents. These are baby steps. You know, the world is, the ice age is coming, and they're lighting fires with matches. They've got to be much ballsier, pardon me, to come up with new models. And it's really, you know, Katie Couric's just the star out front. The question really becomes, who's in the background? Are they changing the culture of CBS News as an entire organization? Because if that doesn't change, the news ain't changing.
Jane Clayson, let me ask you about this. I'm still wondering if Katie might bring something that would actually be a bridge to the new world, whatever that is. There's been a lot of talk about how what Jeff Jarvis points to here, the old anchors with oracular, the kind of voice of God, stentorian delivery, faked up, he might say. If Katie Couric began to inject more personality, that could be a celebrity play, but it also might be read as a getting real play, you know, less kind of phony theater and real responses to the news. Can you picture that there?
Well, let's face it, people like Katie. People like Katie Couric. They've liked her on the mornings, and I don't think they're going to dislike her on the evening newscast. I think, you know, this is an extraordinary time in network news. It's an unusual time, and the changeover of these anchor people, the loss of Peter, the departure of Dan, Tom's retirement, this is a new generation and a new time for news anchors in the evening. This is a time, if viewing habits are going to change, this is when they will change. And so this has been the splash that CBS has been hoping for, and frankly, that Les Moonves has been working a year to get Katie to come to CBS. So I think she may bring who she is. She will bring who she is. That's what they want. That's what they're hoping for. And I think that's what, you know, I think Jeff is right. It's in many ways the culture of CBS, what happens within CBS has to change. Not just the face of CBS has to change. But, you know, I think this is a first step. I think Les will make sure that happens. And certainly Katie's been promised a lot going there.
Mm-hmm. Let me turn to Los Angeles, and Howard Rosenberg is joining us there, former Pulitzer Prize-winning television critic for the Los Angeles Times. He teaches news ethics at the Annenberg School for Communications at the University of Southern California now, author of Not So Prime Time, Chasing the Trivial on American Television. Howard Rosenberg, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Your response to the announcement about Katie Couric and what it tells us about where the network news, TV news is headed.
Well, I really hate to be another voice of gloom here, but what the heck. I always measure news change by how much better the public will be served by it, and I don't see any change here. I do agree with Jeff that the last thing we should do is celebrate this cult of personality, which I think has always elevated the messenger above the message, and that goes back as far as Walter Cronkite. And I think that, you know, the problems with news are much bigger than Katie Couric and CBS, and I think it has a lot to do with the 24-hour news cycle. And, you know, all of news is a slave to that. And what I mean by that is not only television news. I'm talking about talk radio. I'm talking about bloggers like Jeff and especially the irresponsible ones. Whereas everything is happening so fast, you know, somebody, if the president belches at 8 a.m., it's already a major story by noon, and by 2 o'clock, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity are blaming it on liberal conspiracy, and on it goes till it makes the monologues of Leno and Letterman. And even if it's proved to be wrong, the next day it doesn't make any difference because the 24-hour news channels have done what they've always wanted to do, and that is fill their enormous news holes.
But if you're fighting the 24-hour news cycle, you're fighting the tide now. That's not going away. So
well,
within that, can Katie Couric, someone like her, make a difference, or what would?
No. You know, I'm not fighting it. I'm just acknowledging it. And what I'm saying is...
Bemoaning it, it sounds
talking,
to me.
And I am bemoaning it. We're talking about Katie Couric as if somehow she can walk on water. And I'd be celebrating much more if CBS had announced it was doubling its news budget and restoring all its foreign bureaus than hiring Katie Couric. And, you know, call me crazy, the last thing I want to see on CBS Evening News is Katie Couric's personality. I don't care about personality in news. I think we've seen too much in personality in news. What I want to see is better news coverage.
Chris is calling from Amesbury, Massachusetts. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing?
We're well. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think that Jeff probably has his finger on this very well. I'm a big fan of Jeff's anyway. And also Jane had some good points, too. Mm-hmm. What I think is that this is not so much a time slot play as much as a format play. I think that this is going to drag in some people, say, from the boomer generation, and some of the people who more appreciate the rough cut version of information with personality on top of it. The blogosphere is out there with people of their own personality spinning their news. I think Katie is going to do some parody to this in the local networks for the short term. I don't think that this is a long-term victory, but I think Les has the right plan in mind.
What do you mean rough cut? You expect Katie Couric to be less polished or less buttoned up than her predecessors?
I'm going to imagine that her commentary and her style around it, I think that the news quality will be great. I think that, you know, there's an organization as well as Katie's own investigative bent, but I think that it's going to be in the presentation layer. Tom and Peter and Dan had a different presentation layer because they were talking to a different crowd. I think Katie's crowd is going to be some of the people who haven't maybe necessarily made the push to digital versions and are still sticking to the network for the short term.
So maybe bringing some new viewers. Chris, thanks for your call. Jeff Jarvis, I'm still fascinated, if I may, by the gender presentation issue here. I mean, it has taken a long time, as Jane said, to see a woman in this chair. But it's interesting to me that it comes at a time when Oprah Winfrey has got huge numbers all over the place. I mean, if the old, you know, Howard Rosenberg would like to see more reporters and more foreign bureaus, and amen to that. But at the same time, there's always symbolism going on, iconography. If the old iconography was your Oracle or your Zeus, do we now have that Oprah figure, that more nurturing?
Well, I don't think that Oprah has become the Uber woman. I certainly hope not that all women are Oprah and Oprah is all women.
Well,
God help us.
In the media world, would you not say so?
No, I don't think so. I think that let's talk about what personality really means for the last caller. That the problem is the personality means another plasticized, manufactured face on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent a week in London, and I read the many, many newspapers there, and mm-hmm. they don't have the same false god we have of objectivity. The Guardian, for whom I write a column, full disclosure, comes out and says, okay, we're liberal. Now, having said that, we're going to do a good job reporting the stories, but here's our selection, and you know where we come from. If we're going to talk about personality, I believe that we've got to find a way to do, how do I say this, the smart Bill O'Reilly, people who have an opinion and can have an intelligent discussion, and you know whereof they stand.
So something different from celebrity personality. You're saying
right.
Informed, politically informed or politically open
exactly.
kind of stance
that's
of the delivery.
Heretical. That's heretical in
yes,
many
it
journalism
is.
School, and
mm-hmm.
I'll be teaching one this fall.
For a while.
But, hey, that's where I am.
Howard Rosenberg, what about it? Objectivity out here? Can you see on the network news?
Jeff's not calling for a smarter Bill O'Reilly out of Katie Couric, because I think that is the wrong way to go. No, none of us can be entirely objective. There's no doubt about that. But I think we should still try in mainstream news to be objective as possible. There's a place for bloggers. There's a place for talk radio. But I don't think we should ask them to replace regular news. And as, in terms of this gender thing, I think we're making too much of that also. For some time now, mm-hmm. we've had female authority figures in network news, a preponderance of the reporters from mm-hmm. Dangerous areas, danger zones, reporting around the world have been females. And I don't think Katie Couric's presence is going to make that much of a difference.
Jane Clayson, you were co-anchor of CBS's The Early Show. Can you see Katie, either because of her gender or because of the enormous loyalty she's got from a great big audience and her success there, exercising more latitude in the way she expresses the news, breaking out of the guy's oracular form, as Jeff Jarvis describes
it? Well, I think that's why Les hired her, is because she does break out of that form. She is different than the three voices of God, quote-unquote, that we've had for the last few years. Can I just say one thing?
Please.
With all due respect to the other panelists, and I think Jeff is great, but this plasticized version of the news, I didn't hear that to describe Brian Williams. I mean, I think that this is...
Oh, I'll bite on that. No, I think it's all plasticized. This is not by any means a gender issue. This is what I think is the problem with TV news in general.
Jane, what do you say?
I think that we're ready for a female evening news anchor. Like, we're ready for a woman to be president. It's time. It's time.
Will it be different in some way other than simply that there's a different gender?
I think it will be. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, I think so much of this has to do with what goes on behind the scenes rather than Katie's quote-unquote personality on set. You know, a lot of this is going to be content and what she brings to this and what she insists be on the broadcast. So that is yet to come. We'll have to see.
I mean, I was joking earlier about whether or not on her first night on CBS it would be Katherine Couric, but one of my colleagues here told me she once you went by Katherine Couric. Katie was kind of given to her as a producer's idea of sweetening up, chummying up the girl.
They insisted that it be Katherine Couric when she started because they thought Katie was too little girlish.
I see, and then it went the other way.
And then it changed because people saw that was part of her personality. Not that that diminished who she was as a news person, but she insisted that the name be changed to Katie Couric in the opening of the program. So, you know, people know she's a journalist, and I understand that, you know, if you think she does cooking segments or, you know, chats with some rock star, I understand.
That's a morning show. It's part of it.
It's a morning program. But she is a journalist, and she's smart, and, you know, all the rest said and done. A lot of the media talks about who she is and what she does, but a lot of America really likes her.
I think we risk trivializing her by the way we're going to watch the media coverage of her. Yes, people paid attention to Dan Rather's sweater, but they didn't pay attention to his makeup or his hairdo. And people will pay attention to that in Katie Couric, and I think that's essentially that's where the sexism is going to kind of come out here.
Of course, they've paid attention. I mean, they've seen that for a long time, so it won't be news with Katie Couric. It won't be the first time she's been in that spotlight. Mike is calling from Buffalo, New York. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Two things. I wish we could put the rest of this paper tiger of can a woman do it. All we need to do is look to Channel 7 and Elizabeth, not Channel 7, ABC News, and look to Elizabeth Vargas. She's doing an amazing job. I'm a fan of network news, and she's very, extremely competent. And so that's a paper tiger. And another thing I would say is that I think that the reason that the network is the ratings have been suppressed is just a natural evolution of dilution. It's just being more diluted. It's not that there's anything wrong with the presentation. It's just that it's being diluted. And if they try to talk down to somebody like me who does watch the network news, then I won't watch it. I mean, what's so wrong with the idea that, you know, they're making, apparently, I learned on your show, $50 million. What's wrong with that? Why do they have to have this large critical mass? Why can't they be like a Jim Lear? Why can't they find a little niche like that or keep in that niche, but give me something that's of quality. That's what I'm looking for.
So you say let it shrink if necessary, but make it good. Howard Rosenberg, what about it? A caller Mike in Buffalo says, it's just diluted. It's just more news out there. It's not worse.
He mentioned Jim Lehrer. To me, the Jim Lehrer news hour on PBS is the ideal model for any kind of a network newscast. They give some headlines at the top of the hour. Then they devote the rest of their time to three or four stories and really do it well with the best interviewers on television.
But their audience is much smaller than network news. What does that tell you?
But that doesn't make a difference. It doesn't get the promotion. Doesn't have the budget. All I'm telling you, it's a perfect model. Even though CBS News doesn't have as much time, there's no reason that they can't do fewer stories and do those stories better. And I think the caller is exactly right about Elizabeth Vargas. I mean, we're talking about her like she's not a female. I mean, we already have a female network anchor, albeit it may be temporary. She may have a co-anchor, but she is out there, and she's doing a very credible job. And I think the only big difference that's going to happen with Katie Couric is I think they're going to give her more high-profile interview segments because interviewing is her big strength.
Jane, let me ask you about that. Elizabeth Vargas has been out there on her own hook since Bob Woodruff had his sad wounding in Iraq. Is it a kind of fiction in itself to talk about Katie as the first solo anchor? Has Elizabeth been doing it? And do you think Katie will do it like her or differently?
Look, I'm a huge fan of Elizabeth. I know Elizabeth. I just think she's great. She's doing a wonderful job. And it's been a trying few months over there with, you know, Bob's tragic accident. I think that, you know, she's not quote-unquote the solo anchor, but she's doing a great job, and, you know, whoever joins her, if someone does join her, Bob comes back, whatever. Point well taken from Howard. She's doing a great job, and we're overlooking her and the job she's done so far. So what Katie brings to it, great. We've got two women in the evening. Fantastic.
Jeff Jarvis, bottom line here, what is on the line with the way TV news evolves? What does it matter?
The whole media business is going through this. If airlines could go through huge restructuring, so now is media thanks to the Internet. I see Alan Rusbridger, the editor of The Guardian in London, said a while ago that the presses they just spent £80 million on are the last presses they'll likely ever order. Now, I don't hear American editors talk about that, about a life after paper, but that's where we have to think right now and immediately. And the same with broadcast. You have to think of a life beyond broadcast, and you have to think about what this organization does and how it serves people across any. And they're not doing that yet. But that's where we have to go here, is to be unafraid to shrink the broadcast part to grow the future.
Howard Rosenberg, it just got half a minute here, but in that view, it doesn't exactly matter about the network news. There's so many portals and places opening up. What matters is the overall flow. What do you say?
Well, I think it matters, but not as much, and I think Jeff is right, as it used to, because the entire landscape of information is changing. That doesn't mean we're better informed, but there are more outlets out there.
Howard Rosenberg in Los Angeles at the Annenberg School. Thank you very much for joining us this hour.
My pleasure.
And Jeff Jarvis, founder of the blog Buzz Machine, former TV critic for TV Guide. Jeff, wonderful to have you. Thanks very much for being with us from New York. Jane Clayson, former co-anchor with Bryant Gumbel of CBS's The Early Show. Jane, I'm so glad we found you today. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation, download the On Point podcast, and subscribe to our daily newsletter at our website, onpointradio.org. On Point is produced by Meghna Chakrabarty, Julie Jopp, Eileen Imada, Stefano Katsonis, Matt Lieber, Hillary McQuilkin, Tanya Raleigh, James Ross, Christina Russo, and Karen Schiffman. With help from Matt Odette and Angel Cozzelli, our senior producer is Joe O'Connor. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.